Welcome to the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast, where we empower female business owners to step boldly into the spotlight and claim the recognition they deserve. I'm your host, Tori Barker. I'm passionate about helping women like you transform your visibility into tangible business success. Each week on this show, we'll dive deep into game-changing strategies, share inspiring success stories from women who've mastered their visibility, and offer practical, actionable advice you can implement immediately. Whether you're just starting your entrepreneurial journey, pivoting your business model, or ready to elevate your existing presence to new heights, you'll discover effective approaches to create exciting opportunities and expand your reach. So let's harness the power of strategic visibility and grow your business together. Welcome to the show. Today on the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast, I am joined by Donna Dubay, founder of CEO Amplify, and a business growth strategist who helps women step out of the day-to-day grind and into their true CEO role. In this conversation, Donna shares how she went from ICU nurse to operations expert, and how the simple shift from overwhelmed to empowered can completely transform your business. We talk about what it really means to do less better and how to free up your time for visibility, and why clarity, systems, and strategy are the secret to sustainable growth. If you're ready to stop working in your business and start leading it with confidence, this one's for you. Let's dive in. We're back on the show. I'm so excited to introduce you to my guest, Donna Dubay. Donna, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thanks, Tori, for having me on.
Yeah. So let's jump in and talk about what first inspired you to start your company, CEO Amplified.
Good question. How much time do you have?
Yeah.
No, just joking.
We're on the clock, just kidding.
Yeah, I'll give you the short and sweet. So I actually, like many entrepreneurs, had a very windy and twisty path to get to where I am. I actually started my career in healthcare. So I was an ICU nurse for a number of years and then had kids, the night shifts, the working, wasn't going for me. So ended up staying home with the kids when they were really young, then homeschooled them for a number of years. And then it was like, okay, now what? What am I doing for me? Right. And so a friend of mine was running a business. I've always been very much into planning, project management, all those types of things just come naturally to me. So a friend said, hey, can you help me out? I've got this project. I need some help getting it to the finish line. So I dove into her business and from there, you know, got other referrals and was doing project management for a while. But I realized something. So many business owners were looking great on the outside, but drowning on the inside, meaning that their marketing and everything looked great, but they were running themselves ragged, working way more than they wanted to do, wanting to grow, but not seeing an inch of space or time and how they were going to do that. Hiring, should they hire? Maybe not. They've tried before, didn't work, etc. And so that's when I dove more into the operations side and really helping business leaders be CEOs of their business. And I know some listeners now are like, no, I'm not a CEO. I'm a solopreneur. But I think even if you're a solopreneur, you need time to be the CEO of your business because the CEO is responsible for the vision and the strategy. Nobody else is going to do that. And so even if you're a team of one, you still need that time. And so once you start thinking and acting like a CEO, everything changes underneath.
Yeah. Yeah. So what does it mean to think like a CEO?
Yeah. So it's not the same as, you know, the big companies that we think of like Nike and Microsoft and Apple. Of course, they've got a board of directors. They've got several VPs underneath them, and they're really getting reports from each of those areas. How's the sales going? How's the marketing? How's the, you know, shipping? How's the operations? When we're a small business, it looks a little bit different because we don't have that huge team and board around us, but we still have to be looking at those same things. And so taking time each and every week to be reviewing some metrics, not overboard reviewing 25 a week, because that's just confusing, but we need a few things to keep the pulse on our business. How is my revenue doing? how is this strategy that I just, you know, tried out for the last 3 months on marketing? How is it doing? Am I getting a return on investment? How is my team doing? Are they at capacity? Can I hand more to them? These kinds of things we have to be reviewing regularly. And so this is one of the aspects of starting to think like the CEO.
Yeah. And I think if you don't, as a CEO, like you said, you have to kind of oversee every aspect of the business. And if you don't understand or keep a pulse on it, that's when things kind of get out of hand. And then, you know, you're a month, 2 months, 3 months down the road and you're like, wait a second, why is our traffic down? You know, like on our website, why is the traffic down? Or it's like, wait a second, you gotta, like, I didn't check this and that wasn't plugged in or whatever it might be. And you're like, oh, great.
Yes, yes, exactly that. And you don't have to be the expert in all of those areas, but you have to be noticing and monitoring, right? So I remember working with a client once, and when I first started working with her, she was not a numbers person by any means. She had an accountant, she had a bookkeeper, she didn't meet regularly with her bookkeeper. And in her eyes, if her bank account has a positive balance, she was doing good, right? And so she just needed some mentoring and some education there to say, you don't need to be a bookkeeper, but you do have to look at your P&L.
Yeah.
Right? And compare that month to month, year to year, so you know where you stand. And if something's off, that's when you go to your bookkeeper and say, okay, what about this? What about that? Is this being categorized properly? But if you just don't look at it, you don't know where you stand.
Right. So what are, or how can you build systems to help you not feel overwhelmed with these responsibilities, maybe prioritize certain things? Like, is there a system or a process that you need to implement or know when you have that CEO hat on?
Yeah, for sure. I think the first thing to look at is that you don't need to do everything. You need to do what works for you and your business. So meaning there are what? 5,000 different marketing strategies that we could put in place, right? So many different social media channels. You could do collabs. You could do all kinds of things. But you have to figure out what works for you, meaning it feels authentic. It's aligned with you. You enjoy doing it. And what gives you that return on investment? And even if your business coach, a business guru, your best friend is doing a different strategy, that's perfectly fine. You have to find what works for you and your business and then go all in on that. So that's sort of the first piece, is, you know, cutting out the noise and not trying to do everything. And then beyond that, you want to look at how are you spending your time during the week? And are you being intentional with the time that you have? We're all different. We're all in different stages of life. Some of us may want to work 20 hours a week. Somebody else might want to work 40, but if you're working more than you want to be, then that's a red flag that you're stuck in the weeds and there's an area for improvement there, right? What systems, what processes can you put in behind the scenes to make things easier? So just a couple of examples. We all have a calendar, or at least I hope we all have a calendar software, so that if someone wants to book a call with you, you don't have to do this back and forth. Oh, Tuesday at 3. No, how about Friday? No, right? Lots of those technologies exist in many other areas. So even to take an example of podcast guesting, you can set that up to be much more automated. And you as a podcast host don't have to have your hands in every piece of it, right? They can learn about your podcast. They can book a time. If you want to have a meet and greet with them beforehand, you can do that. They can book the actual recording. You can have a team member look after the assets, editing, and get that podcast out to the world and to the guest and communicate with the guest. So yes, you have to do your research to say, I'd like to have this person on and know something about them, but you can remove yourself from a lot of the pieces. And that can happen in many different areas of our business.
And think about the time that frees up. You know, if you think about having to go into detail on each of those pieces, it's going to be hours out of your day where you need to be spending your time doing X, Y, and Z, right? So if you put the time and investment in building systems and processes beforehand, that's where yourself up and work more efficiently in your business.
Exactly. You know, another example, I was working with a client once, and she was very creative and very much enjoyed being in tools like Canva and Adobe, creating images. Like, that's just a passion of hers. But she got to a point where the amount of time she was spending in there was now bottlenecking her business growth. And so tried to talk to her a couple of times about it. And then eventually I just used objective data and said to her, okay, what's your hourly rate? So she told me. So, okay, so for those 5 hours that you spent this week in Canva, playing with images and doing things you enjoy, that cost you and the business 5 times your hourly rate. You have a social media assistant VA over here who has capacity and is at much lower rate than you and also enjoys doing that work and is very good at it, right? And so, not to say get rid of all your passions, you can't have them, not at all. But again, we have to keep a pulse on how we're using our time and making sure that the majority of our time is spent on what I call growth tasks rather than maintenance tasks. So maintenance things are like, you know, fixing something on your website, getting your emails ready to send out to your list, invoices, bookkeeping, those things that, yes, need to happen in your business, but critically asked, do they have to happen by you? Whereas the growth task, this is directly tied to revenue growth. So being present in your groups and your programs and you know, delivering your service to your clients, that's got to be you at the beginning for sure. And then, you know, sales calls, most of us are still doing that in our business, unless you have a team already who's doing that. Growth opportunities, collaborating, JV webinars, getting and teaching in front of other people's groups, all of these things are things that you are not going to delegate or automate to AI, to a machine, or to another human, right? So just taking a step back and looking at your week and saying, okay, last week I worked how many hours? How much of it was towards these intentional growth tasks? And how much was of it maintenance? And most of us, when we do that, are believably shocked how much time we're spending in the maintenance side.
That reminds me of a book, Who Not How. And it's that same concept, right? Like who can take on this task, not how can I take on this task or how can I solve this problem? It's just kind of a shift in your mindset on what you're doing and why it's important for you to either delegate or to automate, depending on the task, so that you can free yourself up to do those growth-minded tasks. I love that. So tell me, how does all this tie into visibility?
Good question. Yes. And I'm sure your listeners are thinking the same thing, right? Again, it comes down to your time. So if we are able to take 10 or 15 hours off your plate by automating and by delegating, you now have those 10 or 15 hours to use strategically. So what's that going to look like? Maybe it's going to be doing more podcast guesting, more collaborations, right? More teaching and promoting in other people's groups and sharing your wisdom. Maybe that's going to be analyzing some of your strategies and saying, okay, this one's really working. How can we double down on that? Right? Maybe that's going to be setting up an affiliate program or, you know, looking at how am I going to get the people that are already in my world to continue with me in another level, in another program. So it gives you that space and that mental clarity to really start thinking strategically about getting more visible.
Yeah, I love that because you have to set aside all of those automate or those administrative sort of things before you can clear up not only your mindset to be visible, but also the time to be visible and strategically visible so that you can meet the goals of that business growth that you have in mind. So it's so important to think about you know, how you can do that and why you're doing that.
And even an example from my own business, this summer I've been digging more into SEO and thinking, yes, I need to have a better strategy for SEO. It's something that I think we as business owners, we always know we should do, but it never ends up at the top of the list, right? And so for me, I said, okay, do I want to do all the work to make my website SEO optimized? No, I personally don't want to do that, but I need to get some education, a little bit more about what I need and how I'm going to get there. And so I spent some time on that and then realized, right, now I'm going to hire someone to actually do the things that I need to do, right? And so just kind of separating that for yourself as well and say, okay, maybe you want to try a new strategy. Maybe you want to try Pinterest. Okay, but yeah. I don't want to make all those images, right?
I don't want to post 5 times a day on Pinterest.
Right. So if I really think Pinterest is the thing for my business, then I have to figure out how can I get that done without it being me doing the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So looking ahead, where do you see the greatest opportunity for women entrepreneurs to amplify their impact and their visibility?
I think definitely in this world we're in right now, just putting it out there and hoping they come is not enough. And I've seen with my own business, but also with my clients' business, that personal relationship matters. Right?
Absolutely.
And so whether 100%. That's with your email list and building that trust, whether that's, you know, speaking to clients several times before they become, or potential clients before they become a paid client, but really having those collaborations and being human to human, I think is really going to go a long way in the next few years, especially for us as women, because we yeah. tend to market differently than the bro marketers, right?
The bros. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think we value, even though most of us are running online businesses, we value that human connection, that human touch. And I think that's going to become more important as we move forward in getting people to actually convert and say, yes, this yeah. is the person I need to solve my problem.
Yeah. And it's like, it's nurturing that relationship too. And us women, we have that instinct nurture sort of instilled in us. And so I think that's really important to kind of keep that in mind as you're building these relationships. You've got to nurture them as well, because, you know, the statistics that they've said, like in marketing, like years and years ago, was like, you've got to have at least 7 touches before somebody's going to convert. Now it's some crazy number, like 28 or something. I don't know. It's probably more by now, but it's like that number has increased so many times. So if you think about that in perspective of like, okay, I've got to, let's just say 20 touches. Like, so how can you over time have these 20 quote unquote touches with a prospect to then nurture them to then at some point have them work with you? It's like, that's crazy to think about.
Yes. Yes, for sure. It is a lot more, right? But it makes sense because there's a lot more noise.
Yeah, very true.
You know, everyone's inboxes are loaded with, yeah. right? Get this, get that, get another, this.
Yeah, and trust is another factor too. Like with AI and some technology, some people are like, is that really you? Or is that what you would say? Or is that, you know, true? Like there's facts that people, you know, fact checks and all of those types of things where they're like, they want to know the know, like, and trust, and the trust being so much more important now.
Yes.
It's so interesting, yes. especially for us women entrepreneurs, I think.
For sure. And I think that's where doing things like having a semi-automated process for testimonials is going to help you stand out as well, right? So someone gets yeah. in your group or is one-on-one, whatever kind of service or program you have, but you have a touch point there where you are reaching out, you know, for their yeah. thoughts and what they think about how their experience has been, so that you can then use that at a later time to help others make that decision.
Yeah. And being, I think also being strategic in like your visibility outreach, like doing webinars and doing in-person events or networking in groups or writing books. Like those are things that are a little bit different now that people are using for trust building and authority building and visibility and all of those things. But it also gives people an instinct in a way to really see inside of who you are in your business yes. to know you a lot better than they may through a social media post.
Oh, definitely. Right. And for sure, I think for those listening, you're listening to these ideas and think, oh, I want to do that. Because we all have it. That shiny object is calling us, right? Again, go back to your roots, go back to your why, and pick what works for you. You do not need to do it all at once, right? So really being strategic and planning out okay, this quarter, my focus is this, right? And keeping yourself in that zone.
Absolutely. You got to set that CEO game plan, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, it has been awesome. I feel like, you know, we've kind of gone a little down the rabbit hole here and back and forth, but, you know, really sharing some good advice for the listeners, things to think about, you know, really focusing on taking your time, knowing your journey, you know, putting time where time needs to be spent, is really important. So Donna, thank you so much for being a guest, and I'd love for you to share how people can learn more about you, you know, become part of your world, find you on social, share how people can get in touch.
Yeah, thank you. So you can find me on my website, which is ceoamplify.ca. And if what we were talking about today kind of resonated, I do have a free download there called CEO Power Hour, which is really that 1 hour each week where you're taking that bird's eye view and really being strategic with your business. So it's just a PDF. It'll help you sort of walk through how do I implement this and how do I do this each week in my business. Yeah. So you're welcome to grab that.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for being a guest. I have loved sharing your story, all of your tips and advice, and hopefully people will find a gold nugget in there that they can take and implement into their business.
Thank you. Thanks, Tori.